Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass, and 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio.
Happy New Year from all of us here at 830 WCCO. And on this Smart Garden Show, answering all of your lawn and garden questions is none other than Master Gardener Teresa Rooney.
Happy New Year, Denny.
I thought you deserved a little special intro.
Wow, that's pretty impressive.
Always fun to have you back on the radio, Teresa, and she is ready to answer any kind of a lawn or garden question, and we're already getting them, so believe it or not, yeah, it's the 27th of December, and yes, we're talking lawns and gardens. And according to that forecast, we're going to get a lot more snow cover, which is, you guys always like to say, that's a good thing.
That's a good thing. You Minnesota gardeners rock. You're there 365 days of the year, even before snowstorms. I love it.
Well, if you have, I was thinking too, as I mentioned earlier this morning, Teresa, that maybe some folks, as a host or hostess gift, receive some green and growing thing, whatever that is. Maybe it's a Christmas cactus. Maybe it's poinsettia, whatever the case, or poinsettia, if you prefer. If you have a question about maybe how do I take care of it, some basic, maybe you don't have a green thumb, or maybe you just want some further information, whatever the case may be. Maybe you want to talk about your lawn. Whatever the case, that's why we're here on our Smart Garden Show. Call Teresa, text Teresa, 651-461-9226. And we always get new folks, as you know, Teresa, listening to the show. Mm-hmm. And you are a master gardener. And we mentioned it the last time you were on. There's a program that maybe let's kind of back up and mention that again for okay. folks that might be interested.
Okay, yes, I am a master gardener. And as our master gardeners come into the program, they have to take what is called a horticulture course, a pro hort course, but they're not, that course is not closed to only them. It's open to everyone. So you can So you can sign up for the pro hort course, and the sign up closes January 9th. The courses start January 13th. They are all online, and it's a self-guided course, so you can take it at your own pace. You can register if you go to the Minnesota Landscape Arboretum website. There's a really good, easy link right there under the events page, how to register, and tells you all about it. But it's just a wonderful, wonderful course for anyone who likes to garden, or anyone who's in the gardening business, quote unquote. So if you're a landscaper or a land care specialist, you may want to look into that course. And there are some reductions for people who are in special societies, Minnesota Landscape course. I'm sorry, group, etc. The website will tell you all about it, but you can easily find all the information on the Arboretum website. And again, registration closes on January 9th, and courses start opening on January 13th. And again, it's self-guided online, so you can't use the weather as an excuse to get out of class.
That's right. And you can do it at your own pace. Now, what are we talking about cost-wise?
You know, for master gardeners, they pay a cost. For the general public, it runs from $650 to $695 for non-members, and members get the $655. And it includes a printed core course, companion, and a guide. So it's a wonderful way just to get a good round information and knowledge base about gardening and lawn care and flowers and vegetables and insects and diseases and how to think things through. It's just a great course. And again, as I warn any of the interns coming in, the course can take about 48 to 50 hours. However, there are so many links that you can explore that you can really extend that as much as you want and really just get all the information that you want on certain subjects. If you want to do deep dives, if you want to specialize and really learn all about plant diseases, there's a lot of links that you can explore at your own pace.
That's and a great time of year to do that.
It's a great time of year, you know, yeah. And it's great to get out of, you know, doing the dishes or making dinner because
Absolutely.
You have to do class and someone else in the household can pick up the tasks for a little while.
Sounds good to me. We have textures and we have a phone call. I'm going to ask my our producer, Ryan. I don't want to mispronounce this person's name. Ryan, who do we have from Rogers on the phone?
We have Doit on the horn.
Doit, well, great. Good morning, Doit. What can we do for you? What's your question
hey,
for
good
Teresa?
Good morning. Thank you. I have a question about, I have a row of mature pine trees that are cut up about 5 feet off the ground. There's, you know, virtually nothing underneath them. Is there some kind of like tall grassy plant or something that I could put underneath there?
Well, Doit, what you could do, because once you get underneath those evergreens, it's very dry and there's not a lot of, that can be not a lot of sun. But what you could do is plant those grasses, if it's a full sun area, plant those grasses just outside the drip line of the evergreens. And they will fill in and fluff out for you so it will cover that bare area. And they'll also, what would be really wonderful for the trees, is they'll shade those roots and keep those roots a little cooler, which the trees will really love. So any of our native grasses, our tall native grasses would work. Even some of the non-natives like Miscanthus, any of those grasses, there's lots of wonderful perennial prairie grasses that would work for you. And any garden center would tell you, or you could go to the extension webpage and look under the I always get it. It's hard. It just seems awkward, the name. Plant Elements of Design and Plant Selection Tool. And that you could plug in those tall grasses and it would give you some wonderful options for your zone.
Very good.
Good luck with that, Doit.
Thank you for the call. Yeah, that's how it works. If you have a question, you want to call it in or in chat with Julie, with Teresa, that's fine. I'm looking at another text from Julie. Or call Teresa, 651-461-9226. That's a phone or a text. That'll get it. Good morning, texter says, I have a beautiful rhododendron that lost a small little branch this past fall. I snipped the end clean. It's been in water for that long. Still looks alive. No rooting yet. You think this will grow outside in my garden if I plant it this coming spring?
If it's a hardwood cutting, they may not root. It may just continue to grow. It may take a long time for rooting to start on that. As long as it still looks evergreen and the leaves are still flexible, you could keep hoping that it will root out. I would definitely, when it starts to root out, then pot it up and maybe even treat it as a house plant for a year and then put it out so it has a good amount of roots on it. I'm not sure if a hardwood cutting of a rhododendron will ever root, though.
Very good. If you have any kind of a lawn or garden question, and we mean any, you can call or text Teresa, 651-461-9226. We're going to take a quick break here, Teresa. We'll be back on the other side. I do want to alert our listeners who don't know, there is going to be a winter storm watch in effect. There is going to be a winter storm watch in effect from tomorrow morning, 6 o'clock, starting at 6 a.m., until Monday at noon. What are we talking about? We're talking during the day tomorrow. Chance of rain, certainly. It's going to be a blustery day, but we all also could get 3 to 7 inches possible of new snow tomorrow. And then Sunday night, maybe another 2 to 4 inches possible, definitely affecting, or at least it could, Monday morning drive time, which is going to be kind of another blustery day itself. Again, our high today should be about 42, so definitely above average temperature reading. But then things will change, getting colder this coming week. Stay tuned to News Talk 830. This is WCCO. And welcome back to this portion of our Smart Garden Show. Denny Long here, along with Master Gardener Teresa Rooney, ready and willing to answer any kind of a lawn or garden question you may have. You know the number, 651-461-9226. Let's see, a bunch of texts coming in as we speak, Teresa. Oh, someone wants to know, were they, and we have, I've said it before, we have so many great garden centers around here, around CCO land, but this listener wants to buy a Meyer lemon tree. I assume that any good garden center will sell those, right?
Many of them will. It depends on what kind of inside plants they're carrying at this time. But definitely look for those at your plants, especially during the holiday season. They're often sold also as gifts. So you can often find them still at the garden centers. And if you don't want to drive, just call first and see if they're carrying anything like that. And then go out and see their selection. But, yep, support our local garden centers whenever you can.
Much to my chagrin, I walked around the house yesterday. I hadn't been out in the side yard for a while because of the snow, and I had a, well, I still have it, I guess, a Japanese yew I tried to protect by fencing from the deer. Now, I know deer have to eat, okay? I know they do, so I fenced it off with a kind of a netting and segmenting this part of the side yard. Yep. And it was growing quite well. Well, yesterday, I see that some deer had broken through the netting, and my Japanese new yew now looks like a Charlie Brown Christmas tree.
Oh, no.
Would you, now, well, you don't know this. You don't have a crystal ball, but is this going to come back?
Well, as long as there's still some green on it, I would
there
add
is.
Some more. I would add some more protection.
At least the, as of yesterday.
As of yesterday. I'm sorry about that, Denny. Yeah. But the nice thing is that yews are one of those wonderful evergreen plants that have a they have growing points all along their stems and their trunks. So those growing points can often be reactivated, and it can fluff out again for you. So rather than like a pine tree, which would not fluff out from those areas that were browsed, the yew can actually fluff out and grow more green in that area. So it should be okay. Just do some more protection on it now. Yeah. Good luck with that.
Like a big gate. All right. Good morning, Tester says. I have a small rose tree that I'm trying to overwinter. It was good for the first few months, but now the leaves are turning kind of gray, falling off, almost disintegrate. Any thoughts about that small rose tree that they're trying to
overwinter? That's a tough one. I would definitely look at the extension website, extension.umn.edu. But in the meantime, I would make sure that you haven't over or underwatered it. So maybe gently pull it out of the pot and see that the roots are still white or nice and light colored and actively, that they look like they're still alive. They're not all gray and mushy and dead. I would take off all the leaves that have turned gray. Get rid of those because they're not helping you. Give the plant as much light as you possibly can, and if you can raise the humidity around that plant, that may help too.
All right, very good. Again, if you're just joining us, Master Gardener Teresa Rooney answering those lawn and garden questions. It's 651-461-9226. Here's yet another text. What is the proper care for an indoor bamboo plant about a foot tall?
You know, those can take medium to high light, and make sure you keep it a little on the moist side, not soaking wet, but on the moist side, and it should be just fine. Those are fairly easy to grow. Make sure it's just room temperature, not in drafts, not right above where the heat register is or where the door opens. It should be just fine.
I want to ask you, and we may have touched on this last time you were here, but here it is, the kind of the giving season yet, mm-hmm. and for parties and whatnot. What kind of plants, instead of maybe candy or some food, which is always a good idea, mm-hmm. but what kind of plants whether somebody has a green thumb or not, what's a good idea to bring to someone's home for a gathering?
Okay, that's a great idea. So what I would first think about is, do they have children and do they have pets? Because that could limit their you don't want to put something that's poisonous in the house for the children or pets. And then there's lots of great, some of the holiday plants like the Christmas cactus, that's fairly easy to grow. Ferns are nice. If you know that their house is a little darker, they may not have a bunch of light. There's a lot of wonderful plants that you can find at the garden centers that will be easy to grow. Things like pothos, P-O-T-H-O-S, that's a vining plant. And it can get quite long and gangly, but they can prune it and cut it back. The begonias, some of the Rex begonias are absolutely stunning in the house. They don't get flowers, but they do get absolutely gorgeous colored and shaped leaves. So go to your garden center, ask them what they have in stock. And if you can think of your host or hostess, do they have pets? Do they have children? How much time do they have? How bright is their house? My house looks like it has a lot of windows, but I don't get much sun at all. It's just the way the windows are. So I have a hard time growing plants. Plus, my cat won't let me grow plants. But a lot of houses look bright on the inside, so you can grow those high-level plants. There's just so many options. Orchids are absolutely wonderful to grow. They bloom once a year for a long time, then the rest of the time they're just these beautiful glossy leaves, these thick leaves. So there's a lot of plants you can grow. If you are going and giving someone a plant and you know they have pets, you may want to include a little list from the ASPCA of poisonous plants so that they can note that this plant is not a poisonous plant, things like that. If you know they have children, there's a Minnesota daycare list, I think, out there, too, of plants that children shouldn't nibble on. Yeah. I mean, as a child, I grew up in a house filled with plants, and many of them were deadly poison, and none of us kids ate them. But that was just us. So I would just try to be as careful as you can with that.
Yeah.
Or if you don't want to do that, maybe if they have pets, give them a list from the ASPCA and a gift card to the garden center to choose their own plant.
That's a great idea.
And with maybe a small bouquet of flowers and then that gift card. And you're still giving something green, you know. African violets are beautiful. They aren't poisonous, but they're beautiful. Or a tiny plant and then maybe something else, like a gift card to a garden center so they can get more information. And even write down the Extension website on that.
extension.umn.edu. And
yep.
A listener reminded me, again, I said we do have some great garden centers here, names, and we
mm-hmm.
do. But that listener reminded me there are some I can call maybe a mom and pop kind of garden center.
Oh, definitely.
And patronize those too.
Yes,
because they've got good stuff, quality stuff, and on a smaller scale.
And on a smaller scale. And you built that rapport with them.
Yeah.
And so if you are looking for that Meyer lemon, if they don't have it, they might be able to source it and bring it in for you. They might
be
willing to do that. Yeah, the small garden centers they're just gems in our neighborhoods and yes, just support them as much as
they
can.
They are gems.
Mm-hmm.
Let us grab a phone call before we break for weather. Nancy calling in from Edina this morning. Hi, Nancy.
Hi, everybody. I just had a comment about a poinsettia plant. Having worked in a greenhouse, I didn't have the heart to throw away or, you know, keep my, or throw away the poinsettia. I got beautiful one last Christmas. So
mm-hmm.
I started to fertilize it in
yep.
direct lighting. And I use a Jack's 20-20-20 for all my plants. It's wonderful. Uh-huh. And by this past November, I had a bush, a
yes.
huge bush of poinsettia. I didn't care if it had red bracts on it, but it was just, I took a picture of it and sent it to the person who sent me the poinsettia plant. She couldn't believe it. But anyway, I just did it for fun.
Yeah. They're beautiful plants in Mexico. They're native to Mexico, of course, and they grow into these large bushes. And we can easily take our holiday poinsettias and grow them on as a house plant. You can put them outside in the summer. They love that. And then if you want to try to create the red bracts, or what a lot of people think are leaves, but they're actually bracts, the red leaves, you can then go to the extension website and it'll tell you how to do that. It's just a matter of managing the light. And so you can make absolutely gorgeous big bushy plants out of them.
Thank you, Nancy. Appreciate
Thanks,
that.
Nancy.
And Teresa, we need to take a break for that all-important forecast. So stay with us. If you have any kind of a lawn or garden question, now is your chance to ask that of Teresa Rooney, Master Gardener here this morning. 651-461-9226. The weather is straight ahead here on News Talk 830. This is WCCO. And a good Saturday morning to you if you're just joining us. Master Gardener Teresa Rooney answering those lawn and garden questions this Saturday morning, the final one of the new year. That was a quick year, wasn't it, Teresa?
That was a quick
year. Where'd it go?
That year only lasted like 12 decades.
My goodness. All right. We still have a bunch of texts, but we always like to mention, no matter what time of year, is to get to the arboretum. There's so
yes.
many things going on, yet even, you know, maybe
even
sometimes even more
so. Even in the dead of winter.
So. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. So what you could do at the arboretum now, like today, you could drive around and see what the evergreens look like, what the weeping evergreens look like in case you're wanting to add anything to your house. Look at the dogwoods, all the pretty dogwoods out there. They're beautiful stems, and maybe consider, I could add some of those so I'd have winter interest. They have a New Year's Eve celebration you can sign up for. Winter lights are still going on out at the arboretum, and the indoor forest is still there. So if you just need to look at some greenery or head over to the conservatory at the arboretum and breathe in some nice damp air and see the orchids, there's so much going on there. So definitely visit the arboretum, especially if you have those visitors in town and they're getting a little squirrely. Bring them out to the arboretum so they can let off some steam, see some of the beauty and the gem that we have in our arboretum. It's absolutely gorgeous out there.
It really is. Just head out west on Highway 5 to 41, and you're almost there.
You know, can I mention with the storm coming up, for those who are feeding birds, make sure your bird feeders are filled. Do it now so that maybe the birds can stock up, and then you won't have to do it during the storm. Walk around your plants. As Denny noticed, somebody was nibbling his. So walk around your plants. Make sure that the protections you've put in place for deer and rabbits and mice are still in place. If you need to tamp down some moats around those fences because we're going to get more snow, do that so the bunnies can't leap over the fences. And just do a little prep work while it's still warm. 42 degrees. Well, it's still warm. And then you'll be a little more prepared. You can sit back and drink another cup of cocoa during the storm.
That's a great idea, and thank you for that, because I got to go out and fill those bird feeders today.
Yes,
yeah,
yes.
Do it today, not during the storm tomorrow.
It's easier when it's warmer than when you're fighting Mother Nature.
Yeah, with 42 degrees today, 42 would be the high today. Do it today.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Good idea. I'm looking at a text now, Teresa. Once the flowers fall off the orchids bought in stores, will they flower again if you keep watering them, or is it time to toss?
Oh, no. Orchids will rebloom again. They bloom about one time a year. So you want to wait till all of the flowers have fallen off. And the stem looks a little, it kind of dies back a little bit. Sometimes you can prune that stem back to another little bump or a node on that stem, and it may reflower right away for you. That may activate that flower bud that's there. Sometimes there's no flower bud, so you just cut the stems off. Then you have a nice green plant for 5, 6, 8 months, and then it flowers again for you beautifully. The extension website, extension.umn.edu, go to the Yard and Garden line, has wonderful orchid care pages. They're very low maintenance plant. And the watering, what you're trying to do is just keep the chips around that damp, so you don't ever want it to sit in water.
Very good. Looking at another text, Teresa, how do you care for a Diplodenia tree indoors in the winter months? That comes from Stan in Coon Rapids.
Okay, Stan, so what you want to do is make sure you're giving it as much light as you can. Keep it warm. You don't want to put it in a cool place in your house. You want it in the warm place in your house. And just keep the soil fairly moist. It can dry out just a little bit, but otherwise just keep it fairly moist. If it's actively growing, you can fertilize it. If you need to prune it, well, because it might get a little crazy sometimes, they like to grow in the house if they do that, then you can go ahead and prune it back for size till you can get it back outside again. And the extension website would have some more information on caring for those plants. Good luck with that, Stan.
In fact, I was using the extension website yesterday thinking I might need a new tree to replace that Japanese yew, since maybe a new fencing.
Yeah.
Either way, I'm looking at, we're going to try to get as many questions
okay.
answered here as possible. This texter has some milkweed seed pods they pick this fall. Any suggestions on spring planting?
You would want to get those, if you can, maybe put them in the freezer. They need a winterization. They need that stratification. They will not, if you plant them in the spring, they will not bloom till, they will not start growing till next spring because they need that winterization. You can also look up winter sowing, winter, the season, and sowing, S-O-W-I-N-G, and you could plant those in February, or you could plant them now outside in a milk jug, and then just move them when they come up in the spring to where you want them in your garden. But they do need winter stratification. So sometimes planting them in the spring and hoping you remember and take care of that area for an entire year and don't plant over that area is a little hopeless for gardeners like me who don't mark things very well. So it's might be easier just to winter stratify them and then plant them out.
Very good. Surprised that we get a question this time of year, but I can really relate to this because I could probably use it too. Can I rake leaves if the grass is exposed?
Yes. Just do it very, very, very gently. You don't want to rip up the soil. You don't want to rip up the grass. So if the grass does become exposed and the leaves are out there, you can go ahead and pull some of those leaves off before the snowstorm.
Yeah, because it's coming tomorrow.
It's coming.
So they say.
Please drive safely. Please, everyone,
yeah,
be as safe as
really,
you can. You're the most important, so be safe.
And it couldn't come, I guess, at a worse time for those that do a lot of traveling to
right.
and from
right.
their holiday
right. yep.
hosts. Composting question from a listener, Teresa. He or she says, I have a large two-chambered compost bin that I've had good success with. However, some dry summers I have a shortage of the one-third green ingredient to make the compost heat. I generally use grass clippings. Can I use urea to substitute for the grass clippings?
I haven't thought of that. I'm not 100% sure. I don't know that I could say yes or no on that one. I mean, it would not hurt, but I would not know how much you'd want to put in and where you would get it from and what you would use. So I don't really know.
All right. Well, we better not take a chance on that.
Yeah. You may want to consider some coffee grounds, even though they're brown. They're high nitrogen. So consider getting maybe some coffee grounds from either your coffee or a local coffee shop that may want to get rid of some grounds for you. That could help. And then if your neighbors are mowing their grasses and they may be bagging that, if they're not using product on their lawns, you could ask them for a bag of grass clippings once in a while.
Yeah, that's a good idea. It is nice out today, Texter says. So could we prune hackberry and honey locust trees?
The hackberry, I would say yes. Honey locust has a weird pruning thing. I think you can prune your honey locust now. Please go to the extension website and double check that. I know there's a special time you're not really supposed to prune them. But, yep, if you can get out there, now's a great time to do some of those pruning if you want to.
Mm-hmm. There is another, Teresa, related text about which trees, because this is a good time of year generally, like oaks, is it not?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep.
Most trees?
Most trees you can prune now. They should have gone into dormancy. The only thing with pruning a tree this early in the season, I mean early in the winter season, is that it's not growing, so it's not going to be sealing those cuts. So those cuts are going to be fighting the really dry winter weather, and the dryness is going to seep deeper and deeper into the tree rather than the tree being able to seal it off. But, you know, sometimes you just have to do what you have to do, and you take a chance that that will be okay. If you prune later, say February, it's more humid outside, and the tree has less time that it has to wait with that open wound, that open cut, till it can start sending the healing or the sealing hormones to that cut, so the dryness doesn't go in as deep. And I hope I explained that to people. Hope that makes
Before
sense.
We take a quick break, Teresa, listen, I think this is a good one. We talk, they hear us talking about dormant seeding.
Yes.
Might today be a good one before the snow comes tomorrow?
Yes, especially if the snow has melted so much that you can see those leaves, or you know there's only a few inches of snow. Yes, go ahead and get that dormant seeding out there. I was going to mention that. I was thinking about that. Thanks for asking that, Danny.
Yeah, good question. All right. Hang on, Teresa. We're going to take a quick break. Be right back with the remaining minutes of our Smart Garden Show on this Saturday, 651-461-9226. Just a reminder that Andy Lindis will be joining us next hour for our usual home improvement show. So if you have any kind of a home improvement question, maybe about insulation, I see a lot of stories about that these days. And with cold weather coming in, that may be a topic other folks will be asking about. So that's next hour. Stay with us. News Talk 830 WCCO. Good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show. We still have time for your lawn and garden question for Master Gardener Teresa Rooney this morning. 651-461-9226. Here's another one, Teresa. Good morning, guys. Speaking of Christmas cactus, I have a 30-plus-year-old Christmas cactus. Wow. That I put outdoors on the shaded part of the deck every summer. It's huge, 4-foot diameter. This year it's acting really strange. With the first bloom on October 31st, and it's still blooming today, but only a few flowers left. What the heck is going on?
Well, congratulations on the 30-year-old cactus. I love hearing about these.
Is that not unusual?
That's not unusual, no. Many people have plants from grandma and mom. So some of these houseplants are absolutely stunning and can last for a generation or two or three. So, yes, it's wonderful. I would double-check just how have you been fertilizing it? And then maybe after it finishes blooming, double-check, do I need to repot it? They do like to be tight in the pots, but they can run out of room. So you may need to just go up a tiny bit in your pot and make sure you haven't been overwatering it. It sounds like you've been caring for it wonderfully for years. So I would just say maybe this is just a weird year of light and heat and cold that the plant experienced, so it got a little confused, and hopefully things will even out for it. But look at those things, make sure there's no mealybugs or anything on it, and just carry on treating. If it's not too root-bound and it's not, the roots look fine, you know what you're doing, just keep doing what you've been doing, and it should recover just fine. But it sounds beautiful. Congratulations.
You know, you're talking about mealybugs, and I'm looking at a text that came in a couple of minutes ago about, and it seems like this is the time of year that we get these, and I assume they're fungus gnats. They're
fungus
talking
gnats.
About a bug that's kind of like a fruit fly.
Yep, that's a fungus gnat.
And they live in what, the soil?
They live in the very top part of the soil. So if you keep the soil and the plants very moist, that's perfect for them. They're eating decaying things in the soil, leaves and stems and roots and things like that. But they do fly up and get in our noses, and they're very annoying sometimes. So if you just can let that soil dry out a little bit, that will help. And the Extension website has some good information on it too. Sometimes watering with an insecticidal soap in there, a spray the soil, that might help. However, they've laid a lot of eggs, so there's a lot of generations that will come, so you'll have to kind of be on top of it. Sometimes just putting a small layer of sand on top of the soil so the sand dries out and then all their eggs die. That helps too. But the extension website will have good information on that, and that's fungus, and then they're gnats, G-N-A-T-S. So if you want to Google that will help you. Good luck with
that. Right. Kind of touched on this before. Can I prune my apple and cherry trees?
Yep, it's the same thing. If you have to, you have to. If you can wait till the end of January or middle February, that would be better. But if you have to, you have to. And I would definitely send you to the extension website so you can read up how to prune them, how to head back branches, how to prune so you're not cutting out all your fruit branches, and what branches and how much to take out. There's lots of great information in that section.
Listener knows that this is not the time for a soil test, but they want to know the process. They hear us talking about the U of M. And come spring or whenever, what is the process? Because it's pretty reasonable, isn't it?
It's very reasonable. I think it's about $20 now, which is very reasonable. But what you want to do is figure out. You can download the sheet from the Extension website or UMN soil test. Just Google UMN, University of Minnesota soil test, and it'll talk you right through it. So you want to do either the front yard or the backyard or the vegetable garden or the rose garden. You can't do one test for all of those places. You have to do separate tests for them. Just take some soil from various parts of that area, mix it in a can, and then maybe take a cup of that soil, put it in a Ziploc bag, get it to the university, and they will test it along with your sheet. And then they'll send you the results back. If the results don't make sense to you, go to your local garden center or contact the Master Gardeners. And again, you can do that when you see them out in public, or if you go to the Extension website and there's Ask a Master Gardener on there, and they can talk you through what the test results mean if they don't make sense.
Very good. Speaking of Master Gardeners, for those that maybe missed your comments earlier when we opened the show, I find this very interesting that you don't have to be a Master Gardener, but if you'd like to be, or maybe you just want to learn more, tell us how we can be involved, even if we don't want to be a Master Gardener.
Yep. So taking the Pro Hort course will not give you the Master Gardener designation, because that includes volunteering. But you can take the same course that the Master Gardeners will be taking. Any professional, any regular gardener, anybody who just is fascinated by plants could take that. Go to the Arboretum. There's a great link on how to sign up for the Pro Hort course. Sign up closes. Registration closes on January 9th, and the class starts on January 13th. And a big shout out to all the Master Gardeners out there. Get your hours in. You only have till the 31st. Get your hours in.
For folks that want to take this course, I mean, like you said, you can do it on your own time. It's not free.
It's not free. You do it on your own time. It takes about 48 to 50 hours. There's a lot of extra links you can investigate, so you have all that opportunity. It's a great course itself. It's online, and it's modular courses, so you can just take what you need when you need it at your own pace during the year.
And how do we find out about this again?
I would definitely either just go to the Arboretum and look under the events page, and it's the first opportunity right there under the events page.
They'll have a link.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Expiration question here. A couple of them, actually. This listener has a bag of grass seed and a bag of fertilizer they never got to, but this is not just recently. It's like a year old, he or she says.
Okay.
Is that still viable, you think?
So the grass seed may not be as, it won't germinate as thickly, but you could lay it down a little thicker. You could also do a little test of the seeds and plant out 10 seeds in a little Ziploc bag with a damp paper towel and see how many of those seeds germinate. And then you know what kind of percentage of germination rate you're going to get from the whole bag. The fertilizer, if it's a dry fertilizer and it hasn't been like out in a rainstorm and gotten wet and goopy and everything like that, just use it at the same rate as it says on the package, unless there's a specific expiration date on there that it says. But usually the fertilizer doesn't expire like that. If it's cared for, it's not in the rain.
And one more follow-up on expiration, and this concerns potting soil that's been unopened. Can that go bad, by the way?
Probably not, unless it was getting wet and it gets all moldy and fungusy inside. But if it's just closed bag of potting soil, it's fine.
All right. Mighty good. Well, two things. Get to the university website, extension.umn.edu, and by all means, right, get to the Arboretum.
Get to the Arboretum and be careful in the snowstorm and have a very happy and safe New Year's.
And you as well, Teresa. Happy New Year. I know we'll be talking here in a couple of weeks or so.
We will.
So enjoy it. Thanks so much.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Master Gardener Teresa Rooney answering those questions this morning.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200-plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.